Proverbs, we're in chapter 3. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. As I just mentioned, we are beginning a series in this book of Proverbs. We do study through the Bible on Sunday nights, verse by verse, chapter through chapter. Lord willing, we'll be starting with Proverbs 1:1 tonight and working our way through it. I invite you to come out tonight at 6 o'clock and join us as we travel through this book of wisdom. And that's exactly what it is. It's a book of wisdom. What is a proverb? Basically, a proverb is a short statement relating to some aspect of life. Usually, a proverb contains few words but a whole lot of punch. It condenses into short words, typically a whole lot of important things. And of course, when it comes to the book of Proverbs, we have God seeking to give us wisdom in sizes that we can take in. Proverbs are set up in such a way as they can do just that. They can be memorized and called upon and quickly in situations they might be needed. What is the goal of this book? Go back to chapter 1, verse 1 for just a moment. Go back to Proverbs 1:1. Why has God given us these Proverbs? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The goal of Proverbs, in particular this book of Proverbs, is to give us wisdom for our life's journey. Maybe that's why when I put the words wise or wisdom into my Bible computer program, it revealed that those two words, wise and wisdom, appear 112 times in these 31 chapters. We are a people in need of wisdom. There's no shortage of information, but don't confuse the two. We live in the information age, and with such things as the computer and all, and our levels of education and all, we are bombarded with information. But while we might have lots of information, how short we are on wisdom, the true understanding and application of the knowledge of God, the ways of what life are designed to be. We are a people in great need of wisdom. But we have a God who loves us greatly, and of course he knows that. And so he gives us these proverbs to know wisdom, to have wisdom for this life's journey that we're on. And our focus verses, go back to chapter 3, verse 5. Our focus verses are great examples of this whole idea. Let's look at them again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. The follower of God is called to walk a God-directed path. But in these verses, we see that if we're going to have this God-led life, this God-directed path, we see that it is simply going to be the result of something. You see, the leading of our path, that's his part. But notice the words trust, lean, acknowledge. As we begin our time this morning, got a couple of questions for you. What do you really lean on in your circumstances? Are you in a trial this morning? What does that trial find you really trusting in? God sets before each of us an awesome invitation. We can have God-directed steps. In fact, that's what I've called our time together this morning, God-directed steps. Let's pray. Lord, you know us inside out. You know what our days contain. You know our past, you know our future. And Lord, in your knowledge of us and in your love for us, Lord, we recognize that you have a path for us. How we need you to direct each step. Lord, there may be some today struggling. They don't see where to go. It's a closed way for them right now. They don't see where to put that next step. Help us, Lord. Help them to know where that might be. Lord, you know this week. You know there might be a trial coming up for some of us, Lord. And we're going to need to know how to find where to put our foot. Lord, would you in this time help us to be reminded of or perhaps lay hold of at a deeper level these truths that if we will just trust and lean and acknowledge, you'll direct. Thank you, Lord, for all we're about to look at. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's work our way through these verses. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The trust that's going to lead to a God-directed life, a God-directed path, is a trust of the heart. It's not simply a mental agreement that, yes, I believe God has a way. I believe that is probably the best way. It's not just a mental assent to the truth of it. And it's a settling of the heart about it. The heart in the Bible is not just the thinking, but it's the core of who I am. It's the seat of my choices and my will. It's that real part of me that lives inside this tent. And this verse shows me that if I'm going to have a God-directed life, I must settle who that part of me belongs to. I've got to trust in the Lord with all my heart, all that core part of me, all that I really am. I've got to settle that it's His. And we see here that it's a trust not with all my heart in the Lord. Now that might seem obvious. You go, well, of course it's a trust in the Lord, but be careful. This is trust in the Lord, the God of the Bible. Not as other people say that He is, but as He revealed Himself to be. It's not trusting how maybe even we've come to see Him, because even that can be limited. But it's coming to know Him and trust Him in all of His character, in His faithfulness, in His love, and His compassion. It's trusting in the Lord, the God of the Bible, with all our hearts. And it must be with all our hearts. In the New Testament, James puts it this way, and he puts it well. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So this lines up exactly with our Proverbs text. James says, you lack wisdom? Seek it. Ask of God. He says, who will give liberally, without reproach. He will give it. But there's a catch. Oh, I knew it. I knew you were going to put that in there, Pastor. He wants us to be like totally perfect, doesn't he? No, the text doesn't say he gives to everyone who is perfect wisdom. Well, then it's those who do good works all the time. They're down here painting the church all the time and cleaning things up and doing all those kinds of things and helping people across the street or whatever good works are. That's who he's going to give wisdom to. No, it doesn't say that. What is the key that James points to that God will give wisdom liberally to? It says those who will have faith. Those who will, like it says in our Proverbs text, trust Him with all their heart. The doubting person, the wavering person is just that, he says. He says it's like a wave being tossed by the wind and the sea, pulled from different sides, never really listening, never really obeying. Haven't settled the issue. They're double-minded. You got to be single-minded, single-purposed, single-hearted. That's the key. Not perfection, but settling the issue. Lord, as imperfect as I am, this I know, I'm yours. I'm going to be sold out to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, it tells us. But not only is the trust to be total, it's also to be exclusive. Look at the next part. And lean not on your own understanding. We seek the God-directed life. That's probably why you're here this morning. You want to know Him better, that you might be led by Him and discover His plan for you and walk in all He has for you. You seek the God-directed life. To hear from Him in that way, it says, trust Him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It's to not only be a total trust, but it's to be an exclusive trust. I can't say I want Him to steer the car of my life if I'm always fighting Him for the steering wheel. You got to say, here's the steering wheel. Lord, I'm getting in the passenger seat. And it's all yours. So it's exclusively His. The word lean here, lean not on your understanding, the word lean here is not to just incline towards something. It means to support yourself by it. We might say that if I was standing here and kind of had my elbow on the pulpit here, we might say I'm leaning on the pulpit. Yet if you move the pulpit out, I wouldn't fall, not in this stance. I might kind of have to catch myself a little, but I'm just kind of leaning on it, but not really leaning on it. Not the way that this text talks about. This text is talking about a leaning that places all your weight on something. Now, I'm not going to get here and lean totally on this thing. Who knows what might happen here? Might be a good illustration, not trusting things that aren't stable. But the idea is not just a casual lean, but it's placing all your weight on it. What do you lean on? What are you placing all your weight on? Man, being the prideful creature that we are, tends to lean on himself. Surely my intellect, my experiences in life, my resources, surely those will get me through whatever I'm going to face. And that's what man thinks. And that's what he goes by. That's the history of man from the beginning. God placed man and woman in that garden, but gave them choice. And Eve started listening to the serpent and looked at that fruit and said, yeah, I think that's, and took and ate. Sounded good, looked okay, bought into the reasoning, and boom, down she went. Down we all went. Disaster followed. But no different for all of us in our natural state. We think we have what it takes to handle our day-by-day experiences. But the Lord says, lean not on your own understanding. I knew it. That's one reason I don't like following God, because you got to turn your brain off. See, that's what it's saying. He wants me to be a turnip. That's not what it's saying. This doesn't mean that you don't. God designed your brain. He gave it to you. Of course you're to use it. We don't turn off your brain when you follow the Lord. This doesn't mean you don't use common sense. That's not the idea. But it means we don't stop at our brain. We have available to us the wisdom of God to direct our steps. We don't have to, and indeed we're called not to depend on our limited wisdom, our limited experience, our limited knowledge. You don't know what's around that corner. You might think you do, but you don't. God does. And so he says here, now walk this way. That's going to get you where you want to go. Oh, no, everybody's going this way. I want that way. And in his love, he goes, no, there's a cliff around the corner that way. You put your foot right here. And you walk the way I'm showing you. If we look to our own understanding, we miss God's will. Let me read. Romans, let me just read real quick, out of Romans 12. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, corresponding to our text right here. I want to know the good and perfect and acceptable will of God for my life. I'm sure you do too. And it says here, to do that, though, yield yourself, your whole heart, your whole being, yield it to him, it says. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't say, oh, that's the path. Everybody else is taking it. Instead, it says, be transformed. Let your mind be renewed. Let the Spirit speak to and guide you that you might discover this path that God has. See, if you don't, you might kind of make it through. Oftentimes you won't, but you might make it through. But you missed discovering God's will. I have found that God will oftentimes take you to extremities to get you to learn that point. But when you do, it's good stuff. And after a while, you don't find yourself going, oh man, I got to follow God's will. Oh, I got to walk in his path. After a while, you start looking forward to it because it starts being the path of blessing and joy. It puts excitement in your day as you start saying, Lord, there's things you want to do today and you're going to be working and there's a plan unfolding and I want to know what it is. And it's not a drudgery. But we buy into the fact that somehow we think we know better. Beware of who or what you follow. There's no shortage of people or views out there, and each one of them are competing to run your life. Some ways it's obvious, and you understand that. The advertisers, they want to convince you that you need that thing to be okay. But if they were only about purchasing a new stereo or car, well, even that we have to be careful of. But it goes way beyond that. Because every day they're coming down the pike, some new guru, some new self-help group, something going to tell you, oh, give this, let me have control of your life. I'll tell you how to get where you want to go. Don't believe it. Don't start looking around. Oh, that looks good. That makes sense. Be careful. Be careful. Do not settle for anyone or anything less than God directing our path. Isaiah 26:3, as Isaiah speaks about what God does for those who will trust in him, he says, you, speaking about the Lord, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. So it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's total. Lean not on your own understanding. It's exclusive. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Have you noticed the word all that's been repeated a couple times in our text? Up above it said, with all your heart. Here it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That means not holding back some part of your heart or some part of your life. It means total commitment to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. To acknowledge him in your ways is to commit each step to him. To seek him to guide each step and to put your foot right where he points to. To acknowledge him, it says. To let nothing, don't let ritual or routine or religion or anything get between acknowledging him. Because it's in that relationship that he directs your path. And then it says, and he shall direct your path. As we trust, as we lean, as we acknowledge, he guides. Some translators, I know some of your translations might say, put it, he shall make your path straight. The point is, he's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. He's going to show you where to put that next footstep. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him through prayer. Acknowledge him through the study and application of the word. Acknowledge him through a sensitivity and obedience to the Holy Spirit. A number of years ago, an incident occurred that it was very meaningful to me, and I'd like to recount it to you just for a moment. And I believe there's a lesson in it for all of us. It happened years ago, but again, it was so strong that still it's very fresh, and the lesson is still fresh for me, and I'd like to pass it on. Way back before I was called into full-time ministry and all, back on our our son was much younger, I heard about, through the Focus on the Family group, I'd heard about a group called Summit Expeditions that take people out on these kind of wilderness treks, on these outings, these backpacking and all. And in that, they bring in spiritual principles and all. And it's a great time. Well, they had a father-son outing plan. And so myself and our son, we went on one of these outings with them. And they took us up to the backside of Yosemite, somewhere back up north of Bass Lake and all that up there. I don't know where we were. It's out in the middle of nowhere, I know that. And you get on these big, heavy backpacks, and off you go for a number of days, in which they do all these activities, not just hiking, but there was climbing, and we learned rappelling and stuff like that. Now, there's an incident that occurred that I want to pass on to you. On one of the particular days, they took us out to do some rock climbing. Now, I am a rookie at rock climbing. Still am, but I wasn't really a rookie then. And they took us out to this. Now, when I say rock, it's not like a big old gigantic mountain, but it's not a little rock. It's a fairly good-sized rock face. Interesting. I have to be careful. The more I tell the story, the steeper it gets. But anyway, it was steep enough that it was very challenging. But we were going to, they were teaching us how to do rock climbing. Now, they do have someone who gets up at the top, and they drop a rope down, and they put a rope around you. And the rope is around you while you're climbing, not to pull you up. The rope hangs loose. You're to do the rock climbing. But the rope, of course, is to, in case you slip, it's to catch you. So you can go crashing down below. So off I go, and I'm climbing up here, and I'm going up the side of this thing. And I got up. I seemed like it was up pretty high, and I'm working my way along, and all of a sudden I got stuck. I admit it. I got stuck on the side. Now let me explain. Not like stuck like in it, just stuck on it. What I mean is I got to a place where I'm there, and all of a sudden I go, uh-oh. Because I didn't see anywhere where to put that next foothold. I mean, and you're right here, the rock's in your face, you know, and you're going, and I don't see where to go next. Now, to that, you might say, well, just back down. If you've ever done much rock climbing, anything very steep, that's not as easy as it sounds. It's easier going up because you're eye level, you can see. Going down is really tricky, so your best bet is up. But I'm hanging there, and I don't see where to go. All I see is a little indentation in the rock. And a couple of times I tried getting my foot up there, and I'm going, oh, man, it's such a stretch, and I don't know if I have the strength. I don't know if I have the strength to get myself up on my leg, and I don't know if it's going to hold me if I do. And I had several, misfires. Put your foot up and go, I don't know, And I'm hanging there, and enough time is passing that, and by the way, I should share this. I had worked myself over so that I was actually kind of off to the side, so the person holding my rope was kind of over this way, so the rope is kind of out like this, to where I am. Well, that also was kind of in my mind, because I realized if I slip, yeah, that person's going to catch me, but I'm going to do one of these pendulum things, And I'm going to be banging across the face of this rock, and I don't want to do that. So I'm stuck on the side of this thing, and I don't want to fall. Meanwhile, my son's down there going, gee, I'm real proud of his dad here, Stuck on the side of the rock, and I don't know what to do. Well, of course, one of the leaders sees that I've been here for quite a while now, and he makes his way up, and he climbs up there, and he gets right beside me. He actually goes up a little bit above me, and he reaches over, and he clips his little rope onto my main rope there, and then he gets beside me, and he begins to talk to me. Now, he could have come beside me and said, you dummy. You are such a loser. Why'd you even come out here? You're causing such a scene. He could have really got on my case, but he didn't. Instead, he comes beside me and he goes, tell me what's going on. Where you at? And I go, well, I'm stuck here. I don't see. And he goes, well, what do you see? I go, I don't see. All I see is this one little place. He goes, do you see any other options? No, I don't see any place else to go. All I see is this one. He goes, okay, well, then that's going to be your move. Well, I don't know. That's a long stretch. I don't know if I have the strength, And he goes, that's going to be your move. So I want you now to plan on and commit to it, and you get ready. And so he taught me into it, and I put my foot on this thing, and I pushed and pushed and scrambled, and sure enough, it held. My leg actually got me up, and the footing held me. And from there, I was able to see the next crevice, and I got a hold of a crevice, and I worked my way up to a little indentation where you could sit. And I got there, and I sat down. Well, he follows behind me, and he sits down next to me, and he begins to talk to me. And he basically says, we call that a commitment move. That's a total commitment move. And I can see why they call it that. Because at that moment, everything rides on that step. You're going to make it or not on that step. You're going to succeed or fail based on how that step goes. God is so gracious. We find ourselves staring the rock, staring at circumstance. We don't see where to put our foot. It's just, you know, we're right there in it. And the Lord comes along beside us. And much like that leader did that day, the Lord doesn't come up beside us and go, "You dummy. You loser. I don't know why I even put up with you." God doesn't do that. But the Lord comes along beside us and he says, "What's going on? Lord, I don't see. I don't know. I'm stuck here." And he says, "Well, what are your options?" "Well, Lord, the best I can sense is you're telling me right here." And the Lord says, "That's your move. Now go for it." "But Lord, I don't know if I have the strength." He said, "I know. I'm here to strengthen you." "But Lord, I don't know. We do all this arguing." He goes, "Well, you can stay stuck or you can take that step." And you know what else I noticed? Do you remember what I said that leader did when he first came up there on the side of that hill, that rock with me? What did I say he did? He went over and he clipped his rope to mine. What's that tell us? If I slip and fall, guess who gets to take the ride with me? As I go falling, whoop, off he goes, and he gets to bang around the rocks with me. The Lord says he will never leave us or forsake us. He has clipped himself to us. And he says, "Now, there's your foothold. Do it. Take your step. Commit everything to that." When God directs you, and that's so important in life, to develop a sensitivity to and obedience to hearing God's voice, to the Holy Spirit. When he says put your foot there, don't debate it, don't argue it, just do it. Now, an interesting thing. After that foothold held, and I got that next handhold, and I made my way up and sat down, there was a point in my life when that foothold was everything, wasn't it? What am I going to do? It consumed all my time, my energy, I was, you know, frayed over it and everything. And yet, once it was behind me, it was gone. But did I learn anything from it? See, that's the key. Did I learn anything from it? Have you faced some times like that? What did you learn from it? Because there's going to be other times. Indeed, life I found is full of those times. When it's step by step. And he's trying to teach me the bigger picture of trusting when he says, "Put your foot there." That rock hold is long gone. That whole trip is long gone, years ago. But at that moment is what was necessary. But then it was gone. Then comes the next one. And through life, it's like that. So how am I going to walk? My own understanding or trusting his path, the light on the path that he gives me? Verse 7, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." I've included these verses right here this morning because pride, self-righteousness, self-conceit are great enemies of hearing from God. Pride is a great enemy of trusting God because pride is about self, and it will try to convince you that, no, you know best. And of course, the enemy wants to jump in there and chime in, "Oh, better not go there. That won't be good." We've got to be careful. Look at verse 5, that second part. "Lean not on your own understanding." Now look at verse 7. "Do not be wise in your own eyes." They both drive home the same point. We cannot trust our own evaluations. We aren't to take God's wisdom and his direction and evaluate it against our own wisdom. God's not plopping his wisdom out on a big long buffet table with all this other stuff and we come through and pick and choose. It's the person who will believe with their whole heart and have said, "I'm following you and you alone, Lord. Whatever you say goes." Man finds fault with God's wisdom because man's view is self-centered. Man's view is limited. And we act as if, "Well, I can't understand that, so I'm not going to follow it." We act as if somehow God's wisdom should be no greater than our own, and when he explains it, it should make total sense. If he even explains it all, which I found oftentimes, it's not about explaining, it's about faith and trusting. Man looks at God's wisdom, his direction, and he decides to reject God's wisdom. If there's ever a time your view doesn't line up with God's, may I lovingly encourage you, it's your view that needs to be abandoned, not his. Self-dependence is folly when we can have a God-dependent life. To direct our own steps We'll wind us in the ditch, wind up in the ditch. Why do it when we can have a God-directed path, God-directed steps? And never think that the circumstance before you is so clear or so routine that you don't need God's wisdom and direction. Oh, this is obvious what I should do. I don't have to pray about this. I don't need to seek godly counsel. I won't have to check out the Word. I won't have to try to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's obvious. And down you go. Be careful. And be careful of routines and ruts. And yeah, you might make it through the day, but what did you miss? What did you miss by not seeking God through it all? The text says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Wise in his own eyes. That is a perfect definition of fallen man. Wise in his own eyes. But notice the contrast. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The proper fear of God meaning a reverence, a holy reverence, an awe, a standing in wonder of, a realizing that he knows and we don't, that type of that fear of the Lord, if you really have that, that will be accompanied, hopefully, it will be, by a proper fear of evil. If you really have a proper fear of the Lord, you begin to have a proper fear of evil. What do I mean? When you're walking close with the Lord, you won't want anything to get between you and him. And you'll be aware of that. And when those things come along, those temptations, those calls to be a part of that, you go, are you kidding? I know what it's like to walk that slippery path. Why would I want to go there again? I'm staying right here. And that's the idea. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. They go hand in hand. Grow in the Lord. Your best defense against evil is a good offense in the Lord. The result, it says, health to your flesh, health, strength to your bones. Basically means health to your body and health to your soul. The result of all this, the God-directed path. I'd like to speak for a moment to those of you who are here just considering the claims of Christ. Been invited by a friend, perhaps just dropped in today, but you've never yet received of Christ personally. You haven't received what he did for you on the cross. May I just lovingly encourage you? I'm glad you're here this morning. The Lord himself says, come, let us reason together. But let me explain something. The Bible explains that we are all sinners, all of us. And that sin has created a gap between God and us. No amount of good deeds can span that gulf, that gap. And if something isn't done about that gap between you and God, you'll spend eternity separated from him. It's called hell. You don't want to be there. And God doesn't want you to be there either. He doesn't want you to travel this life separate from him. So I have the privilege of declaring good news. That which we could do nothing about, God has done something about. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for your sins. Then he rose from the grave to prove he has the power to give life and forgive sins. All we need to do is to confess our need and receive his answer. But beware, if you haven't yet received of the Lord, look at verse 5 again, the second part. Lean not on your own understanding. Later on in Proverbs, we read this. This is out of Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Perhaps you're sitting here and you said, well, you know what? I think that you get to heaven by being good. And I'm just going to be good, or at least good enough that my good will outweigh the bad. God will place them on scales when I get there, and in I go. Got some news. There are no scales at the gates of heaven. Or perhaps you think that God should let you in because of your intellect. Maybe just because you're cute. I don't know. You've reasoned in your mind. Maybe you've thought of this how I would do it. There's a way that seems right to a man, Scripture says, but it leads to death. And man would have probably thought up something like good works or something to get to heaven. But God thought up something man never dared think of. God said, I'm going to become a man to live and die for you so you won't have to, that you might be forgiven. The way to heaven is not determined by you and me. It's determined by God. Wisdom would dictate, take it. Take it today. But now I want to speak to those of you who have received Jesus. Trust, lean, acknowledge. It's to be total, all your heart, all your ways, the inside and the actions to follow. Perhaps this morning There are indeed many areas of your life that you trust God. But is there a particular area that you have yet to trust God in? Maybe the Lord is speaking to you, believer. You've got some areas you're holding back. Oh, I trust Him pretty much. But there's some areas you're going, nope, nope, not that one. Perhaps there are some ways you've been attempting to ignore or restrict His leading in your life. Let me ask you this, believer. How do you usually come to your decisions for what you're going to do? Routine? What everybody else is doing? What determines where you put your next step in life, your directions you take, the choices you make? It says here to lean, put your whole weight on. Believer, what are you really leaning on? Perhaps you're facing a trial. Perhaps you're right against the mountain right now. That rock's right in your face. Where will you put the next footstep? How will you know where to put it? Will God find you listening and obeying, being very sensitive to His Holy Spirit? Have you got to the point where you say, I'm run out of my means? If that's what it's taken, please don't get it wrong, but great. If that's what it takes to get us to that place of saying, Lord, I got to learn this lesson of trusting, leaning, acknowledging with my whole being. Will this new year find you acknowledging Him in all your ways? In short, I'm asking, do you seek the God-directed path? If you do, let's read it. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Let's stand. As the worship team comes up to close us out in song together, I want to invite you to give prayer if you have a need for prayer this morning. Each day will give us new opportunities to have the Lord direct our path. Our part? Trusting, leaning on, acknowledging Him in that situation. I pray that each circumstance will find us doing exactly that. Let's pray. Father, forgive us if we take this as a casual thing. Lord, we've talked a lot about our part, but how awesome it is that we can experience your leading, that you would love us and care about us so much that you'd offer to us a life led by you. Lord, forgive us for those times we haven't let you do that. Help us, Lord, not to lean on our own understanding any longer in any area. But instead, Lord, may you find us seeking and then walking in each step as you point them out. So, Lord, as we head out into our days, Lord, thank you that you go before us, you're with us, and you're there to tell us where to put that next step. May you find us doing that always. All to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.